It has been a year since a tree fell in a forest up in the Waianae Mountain Range. Not generally a big deal, but it nearly smashed a rare native Hawaiian plant that was being monitored by a plant camera deep in the forest. Now, for our Hawaii Garden and Forest segment, we invited research ecologist Lucas Fortini back in our studios for an update. He's with the U.S. Geological Survey and has been the protector for the endangered plant Cyanea calcina, who they call Cali. Yes, if you remember, his plant friend has a name.
So last time I was here, almost exactly a year ago, I think, Cali was flowering, and we were still kind of watching to see how she was recovering from like this traumatic tree fall, this invasive tree that fell on top of it. And we're wondering like what may happen to this plant over the long term. And what we have seen in the last year has been really incredible. The plant has really rebounded. There was a silver lining to that disaster, which was the canopy directly above the plant opened up with that big tree falling. And we saw from our own data that just the light atmosphere for the plant just really opened up. And the mature main stem from the plant just really started rebounding really quickly. And most interesting of all, before, Cali had this very small little stem, keiki, that just had sprouted kind of from the base of the plant. And they were always kind of been really small and just hanging out there in the understory, in the dark understory. And as the canopy opened, they just, like in the last year, they just have taken off. And to the point that we were surprised to find that this flowering season, those keiki started, some of them started flowering themselves.
Oh my goodness. So just let the sun shine in and voila.
Exactly.
So everything's blooming.
Yeah, exactly. So it was really interesting. And of course, part of it is really trying to understand how endangered plants click and how they're responding to a changing environment. We have been catching, you know, the plant reacting to these changing conditions throughout the entire time, you know, as cold spells rolled in, as the big, huge storms of last year that scared everybody also scared us in terms of knowing whether the plant and all the surrounding other endangered plants would be okay. We've been documenting and collecting data on how these plants have been reacting to this really dramatically changing environment, including this spring, which has been relatively dry. But still, the plant is a lot more resilient than we think.
Yeah. Okay, so she's thriving.
She's thriving so far, yes. So she's just about finishing up with flowering. Her flowering season was a little bit short this year, but she's growing and she's doing well. And
so what about all the other parts of her that were rushed over to the Lion Arboretum for triage?
Yeah, so that's another interesting story, which is so when the plant, half of the plant was essentially severed by that falling tree over a year ago, we rushed one of the main adult stems back to Lions, and thanks to their incredible work over there with the plant propagation and so forth, they were able to save essentially that stem. And from that stem, several little sprouts arose, and they have become independent, small little keiki that are doing really well and are just about ready to be planted out in the wild.
Oh, my goodness.
And what is cool about this is that we have been, of course, collecting data about how Cali has been responding to her changing environment for the last now about year and a half. So we're hoping that when it comes time for us to decide where do we put this incredibly endangered plant out in the wild, can we use the data for it? So we're just about to start doing some data analysis from Cali's own data to see, well, maybe could it do a little bit better? I mean, it's clear from our own observations from the camera and everything, from the growth sensors we have, that it seems to like perhaps a little bit more light and so forth. But I think there's a lot more information that we have been collecting along the way, because the project that we have, even though it's plant cam, is somewhat of a misnomer. We have a huge amount of information being collected in terms of like the growth, soil moisture, light environment, and all those things, not only for Cali, but other incredible native plants up there. And really, with the purpose of us really being able to understand what are perhaps the best environments for us to focus our attention in terms of conservation efforts.
So what height is she at?
Good question. Let's see.
I mean, it's up in the mountain range.
Yeah, it's up, close to the top of the Waianae's, yeah. I do not want to disclose an exact, yes.
Okay. Yeah, because you want to protect.
Exactly. There's a component of that we want to make sure that people check the plant online, but it's a sensitive area. There's just so much conservation, restoration efforts going on.
Okay, we'll keep it secret. And so you, by chance then, because of this accident in the forest, were able to propagate then, you know, Little Keiki.
Yeah.
And so hopefully soon we'll be able to transplant those somewhere, and so it won't be just Lonesome Cali.
No, exactly. Well, there's other of her kind elsewhere in the mountains, but there are very few individuals. So it's we do not know exactly how many plants of her species are out there, but certainly less than 200, likely a lot less. So any additional plants we put out in the wild is certainly it helps.
So were you running down to the lab every week to kind of check on that one stem?
I was asking. Let's say I was bothering people with some updates, but I was letting them do their jobs because they are the experts at being able to save plants and propagate plants from vegetative material. So yeah, I was just really happy. And of course, the one aspect of how this all ties together is, if this accident had happened without the project, we wouldn't have known. And I think what happens a lot of times when people are managing endangered plants, they check on plants. Unfortunately, they can't go that often. These places are so remote that, you know, they go 2 months later after the last time they were there. Oh, something happened and it's too late. They would have seen probably, you know, that severed stem already decomposing on the floor way too late for it to be rescued. So now the fact that we're able to rescue the stem, got the keiki, and now are maybe able to help locate a best place for those. It's a full cycle that kind of is very interesting to see.
I understand that you have a daughter that was able to experience what was going on in the labs and understand what her dad does for a living.
Exactly. Well, my daughter, she's 5, and she actually she calls Kali my plant friend. So she knows whenever I go to the field out in the Waianae, she knows that I'm visiting my plant friend. And actually, one day I did take her to Lyons, and the folks there were very kind enough to give a little tour to my daughter and I. And she was actually able to see Kali's keiki. So it was actually, for me, it was personally a very meaningful experience because it was getting my keiki to meet Kali's keiki. And of course, I have grown attached to this plant, but so it was a really interesting experience.
So does she check in on the plant cam with you?
I show her around. She does not have access to tablet devices to the webs, to the internet at this point.
you can give her a sneak peek on Dad's plant friend.
Exactly. Yeah, but yeah. So no, it's really interesting, and right now we are already kind of looking at, you know, kind of next steps, which is we have developed a set of sensors and it has already shown, you know, its potential use. So we're really trying to see if we can find some resources to start trying to develop ways to deploy similar systems elsewhere, but in much more compact and cost-effective ways, so we can monitor other rare plant populations elsewhere and really start understanding how our environment is changing rapidly. Because if you think about, you know, most of the weather stations we have on the islands, or even here in Oahu, they're all by the airport, at the town, and so forth. And as you talk to people that are managing our environment, our native environment, up on top of the Ko'olau Mountains, Waianae Mountains, there's almost no information from those areas. So you get a lot of observation from people. Yeah, this spring seems particularly dry, but there's really not really much data to show really what's the drying trend that these plants are actually having to react to, and how they may be possibly being impacted. So having a water set of these type of places where we are monitoring a changing environment along with our native plant response, I think would be a really useful thing for us.
And then this week we saw in the headlines a new report out that talks about our endangered plants.
Yeah.
And they're just under threat. We're losing so many of them.
Exactly. It is. And I think that making that connection, that real-time connection with, you know, some of these populations, it helps us not only in terms of management, but also getting the public perhaps to understand just how we in Hawaii are just so incredibly fortunate to have this wealth of biodiversity that's entirely unique to Hawaii. And if we want to be proud of the, you know, how incredible Hawaii is, we do not have to turn to pineapples and macadamia nuts. We have already some incredibly iconic plants that are, you know, pretty much unprecedented to the rest of the world.
That was research ecologist Lucas Fortini. The Life of Kali Project is a joint effort between USGS, the University of Hawaii, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and the State Department of Land and Natural Resources. You'll be able to find links to the plant cam on our website at hawaiipublicradio.org.
I'm Stephen Dubner. On the next Freakonomics Radio, a lot of the terms used in social psychology are misleading at best and sometimes just plain wrong. For instance?
So one that comes to mind is bystander apathy.
So what are psychologists good for anyway?
That's not a bad question, actually.
That's next time on Freakonomics Radio.
This evening at 7, following Counterspin.
That is it for today. Up tomorrow, a call-in show on organic farming practices. How do farmers and gardeners deal with pests naturally? Join in. Tell us what's on your mind. Call our talk back line. Call 808-792-8217. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. We are on Facebook at The Conversation, HPR, and Twitter at HI Conversation. And if you missed any of the show or want to find a past one, find them all on The Conversation page, with links to more information about guests and topics. Just look under HPR News and Talk for The Conversation on hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.